Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning Ashar. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and Lezecha Nishmas and Miriam Fuad, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Allah HaHasham. And Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. Amen. We were just discussing the upcoming Yirtzei, which is after the Yomim Tovim. And Hashem should continue to be a schus for all of us who join this Chabura to really help us grow in our Avodas Hashem. Tremendous schusim. Wow, amazing. Okay, page 189, please. So last week we mamish did not even do anything new in the Sefer. We ended up having a whole different shir, which is half planned and half not planned. Let's go to the bottom of page 189. Okay, these are very fundamental principles in Avodas Hashem. That's where we're up to, bottom of page 189. Anyone who truly seeks the truth is required to know and work with these ideas. You must know that no one goes through this life without a significant amount of suffering. You must know, let's repeat that line. No one goes through this life without a significant amount of suffering. Like Rabbanit Hankin said in that interview, which Sarah sent to me after the Pigua, 6 weeks after the Pigua, Rabbanit Hankin said in that interview, Hulo sam otanu ba'olam rak al menat lekabel shavrim lasheva chinam bebet malan. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not send us here to sit in a hotel to get a free pass. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matil aleinu tafkidim. Everybody has a mission. Ve'ani mishtadalet kameita v'yecholti. Ani mspert lo midayam sh'ani lo smecha. Ani yodat shehu sham lishma. A person has to know no one goes through this life with a significant amount of suffering. Who can say that they're exempt from nisyonos? Fortunate is he whose suffering comes from Torah. What does that mean? Fortunate is he who suffers because he has a ratzon to attain closeness to Hashem and he feels frustrated in avodas Hashem. He feels like he's not making inroads. Hashem, help me make inroads. Help me be closer to you. I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Suriel Malitsky on my drive to Queens this Monday night. And he said that every Elul, he finds it a little bit depressing. Why does he find Elul a little bit depressing? Because every year in Elul, he writes down what he wants to change. He writes down his kabbalos and his takanos for the new year. Actually, I just heard Rav Shai Shechter say this about his grandfather, that every Elul, he would also write down his takanos, and Rav Shai's mother, Rabbitson Shechter, told him they found those papers. So there are certain people who mamish not take a verbal or a mental Kabbalah. They write down. So Shai Shechter said his grandfather used to do this. Rabbi Malitsky said that every year he writes down what he wants to change. And every year he goes back and he looks. Rabbi Malitsky said every year it's the same things that he needs to change. And he sometimes feels like I was a brick wall. Like, how could it be that every year I want to change the same three and four things that I wanted to change last year and the year before and the year before and the year before? And that is frustration from wanting to attain closeness to Hashem. That's frustration of Hashem. Help me reach my goals. Help me be a better person. I'm frustrated through Torah. I want to be Mesakim and Midos. I want to be Bencher. Like Rav Shechter said, his grandfather wrote very simple things. Why did he say he wants to do Shtaymik or Vachar Targum? I don't remember if there were other examples. It was not these grandiose ideas. It was simple things as a Jew. Malitsky said, how could it be that every year I'm writing down the same poor things? And he says, it's a little bit depressing. I feel like I'm not making progress. And it's something that I could relate to because I know for myself there's certain midos that I need to change this year, that I need to change last year, that I need to change the year before, that I need to change the year before. You could bang your head into the wall. God help me. I don't mean that facetious. Seriously, Hashem, Yazor, I need to change these things. The point Rabbi Malitsky was trying to make is we shouldn't feel depression. We shouldn't feel a yeush. But the reality is that that's a little bit of suffering. You feel frustration with yourself. It's a suffering. Yes?
I was thinking that sometimes you do make incremental changes, like on the ladder, and you're just not giving yourself the credit for it or looking and saying, oh, I did improve in this. The five things I chose, I improved a little bit along this ladder for each one, but sometimes
we're
so hard on ourselves
that
we don't even...
Okay, very nice. So Rabbi Malitsky did say that you should... What his point was that Elul should not be a depressing time of Yesh. It should be a time of Simcha. Simcha and the fact that there's capacity and ability to change. So certainly a certain person does have focus, you're absolutely correct, on the changes, on the advances that we had made. I'm just bringing it up here because the Mechaber said that we are fortunate if your suffering comes from Torah. What does it mean suffering for Torah? I think that this is a good example of suffering from Torah. You want to change something and you feel frustrated perhaps in your lack of advance or in your slow advance. This is the meaning, but your comment is correct and absolutely accepted, and we should focus on the positive in order to advance. This is the meaning of the pasuk. Now, this pasuk is from Tehillim. This is why I wanted to go to Tehillim. What is the pasuk? I'm actually going to give it out to you so you could all see the pasuk for yourself. My printer, you know, computers sometimes have a mind of their own, so I meant to print 10 copies, and I think I got 30. No, I'm not joking. So all I'm thinking is the paper and the ink. You know how expensive it is? How much I need to print Baruch Hashem Kenayner? So instead of telling everyone they have to share, everyone could have their
own.
Exactly. One of them, for some reason, doesn't have a back. Oh, it's the last one. But anyway, just take and pass it down, please, okay? There's more than enough. So when the Mechaber, when the Sefer quoted this Pasuk, I went to look up the commentators to see what we could learn from this Pasuk. And apparently, Rosh Hashem Follow Hirsch's ideas are very relevant and profound. Okay? The Pasuk that you have on top is Ashrei HaGever. Oh, here we go. Ashrei HaGever, Asher. We're just starting with this excerpt from Tehillim. Ashrei HaGever, Asher Tiyasrenu Ka. Fortunate is the man, come in. Fortunate is the man who God chastises. How would you translate? From Yisurim. Tiyasrenu is from the word Yisurim. How would you translate Yisurim? Troubles, challenges, difficulties, umitorascha, and from his Torah, silam denu. Okay, so fortunate is the one who is, fortunate is the man who God chastises and who learns from his, i.e. God's Torah. Rav Sham Shem Folish, the reason I thought that you needed to see the Lashon inside, it's sometimes like a piece of Rav Salvechik. It's very powerful, but it's too difficult sometimes to hear it outside and grasp it if it's not necessarily an easy piece. It's not a difficult to understand piece, but it's a piece that is more difficult if you're listening than if you're actually reading it inside of you. So we're on page one, RSRH is Rav Sham Shem Rafael Hirsch. Okay. Shamshon Falhirsch was a German rabbi and scholar. He died in 1888. Very gadol, Talmud Chacham. So many of his works survive and continue to guide us to this day. I rely a lot on his works in Chumash. I prepared a shir for next week on Shemon Esrei, quoted from the Hirsch Siddur. I have Shamshon Falhirsch on Pirkei Avos. Tremendous. So there you go. It's a impetus to buy his farm, not the other way, Chas V'Shalom. Okay, Rav Sham Shem Falhirsch says, and you know, I prepared this last week. I'm always usually a week or two ahead. In light of the tragedy that happened last week in the community, Mordechai was his first name?
Yeah.
Mordechai Yavetz, Alav Shalom. So when I first prepared this piece, and by the way, when I second prepare, I review everything. I don't re-review. So sometimes I'm reviewing the material three or four times before we actually go over it in class. This was first prepared after Mordechai Yavetz, Alav Shalom, after his tragic petira. And this week, when I re-prepared, it's in light of Parsha Zachar, which is the Shabbos, and 9/11. So it is really very, I told over in the Nautilus today, it was a whole 9/11 tribute, especially appropriate for that audience. I read them about Abe Zalmanowitz, Alva Shalom, and I quoted about Nancy Morgenstern, Allah HaShalom. And so this piece is very impactful to all of us, keeping in mind that it is Elul, and we're all coming to Yom HaDin. And it's a new year, and just because whatever we faced in this past year does not mean if we had successes this year, Hashem Yirachem, we don't know what's coming in next year. And if we had suffering this year, lahavdil, we should have, and then next year, simcha. Okay? The evil in the world, which God at times seems to tolerate. Keep in mind that today is 9/11, and I know it's the English date, but it has a very strong significance. Even when my son said in yeshiva this morning, the rabbi was telling the Mashgacha Pratis stories of 9/11, so it's something that's important. The evil in the world, which God at times seems to tolerate, right? So it seems at times that the Ribbono Shel Olam tolerates tremendous rishus, actually serves to discipline man. How can evil discipline man? Line two, by helping to strengthen his moral fiber and to ennoble him. I'm sure that everybody has seen, because I got it on email and I got it on WhatsApp and I got it in a different email and a different WhatsApp. The trial has begun for the drivers who were responsible for the deaths of Elisheva Kaplan and Yisrael Levine. Zichronam Levracha, and we see that sometimes in the world we see a tremendous degree of tzaddik viralo, and sometimes we see Rasha Vitovo, and it seems that God tolerates the suffering. What is the point, says Rav Hirsch? It serves to discipline man. How? By helping to strengthen his moral fiber and to ennoble him. It's hard to hear that. But suffering strengthens us and ennobles us. The wrong, Is everyone with me? End of line two. The wrong which a man must endure, the wrong which a man must endure, is part of that training course of suffering. We are all enrolled in a training course. And that training course is called suffering. And in that training course of suffering, we endure. Endure means to bear a burden. We endure wrong. It will refine us through discipline. This is a discipline to which God subjects only those of his children who are capable of improvement and ennoblement. That's a hard sentence. We hear it all the time, but it's a reality. Only those who are able to improve, only those who are able to be ennobled, are subjected to the course called suffering. Alas, for the man whom God no longer deems worthy of the experience of suffering. Alas for he who God has said, I have no business for you anymore. I have nothing to teach you anymore. For he is the one whom God has ceased attempting to better and refine. You should know that Salvation in his Kodo Dido Fake speaks about this very strongly as well. Woe to the man who lets his suffering go to waste, who does not use the suffering to somehow ennoble and refine. What does God want of me? So he who God no longer has use for, who has ceased to attempt to better and refine. This is Ella. We're all trying to better ourselves. We're all trying to refine ourselves. In any way is my suffering. How could David HaMelech say, Ashrei HaGever, fortunate is he, Asher Tiyasrenu Kod. Does anyone look at Yisurin and say, wow, I'm so fortunate? But the one who God no longer deems worthy of the experience of suffering is the one whom God has ceased attempting to better and refine. Before I go to the next paragraph, any questions or comments? Okay. In order to be worthy of being accepted, look what he just said. Please, I couldn't have taught this while you're looking inside. You have to be worthy. That means you're on a certain madriga. To be accepted into a divine training course. Not everyone gets in. You have to be on a certain level. A man must fulfill two basic requirements. What are the two requirements that man must fulfill? You know, my mother, yesterday, you heard this. Not yesterday, Monday morning, I was in a Parsha Seer for seniors in Far Rockaway. And I was quoting from Miriam Peretz. And I finished class. And my mother has sent a WhatsApp. I just met Miriam Peretz in Costco. I said, I just quoted Miriam Peretz. I said, did you go over to her? So she said, yes, she went over to her. She told her daughter's a teacher and her daughter quotes from your book. And she went to the kvarim of your son. So my mother said to her, my mother said she recognized her from the back immediately. She saw her red curly hair and she knew right away who it was. I was very excited. I mean, she goes all over the world and she meets people. She said to the woman she was with, the woman she was with knows my mother from Toronto. Her hostess, who is the head of NCSY Toronto, I believe, which is a very large organization. She knows my mother, but Miriam said to her, you see, everywhere I go, even in Costco, somebody knows me, because the reality is that she's a highly recognizable, well-known woman. So what do you need to be worthy of being accepted into this divine training course? You would think no one wants to be in the divine training course of suffering. The reality is that many of us get in some way or another. You have to fulfill two basic requirements. First, he must be a gever. What does gever denote? He must not be a weakling who will be utterly crushed by suffering. My mother said she was so friendly. She had such a beautiful smile. She was so talkative. She was so welcoming to her. In order to be accepted into this divine training course, a man must first be a gever, because the pasuk says, Ashrei ha-gever, fortunate is the man who God chastises. Gever denotes not just a person, but a certain moral strength. You cannot be a weakling who will be utterly crushed by suffering. Nor may he be one whose moral energies have been completely dissipated by excesses. And how do you pronounce the next word?
Debauchery.
I didn't hear.
Debauchery.
Debauchery. So you must not be a weakling. That is the first thing, because if you're a weakling, then suffering does not serve its purpose. Why? Because you won't be able to gain anything. You won't be able to continue. I was speaking to somebody recently who's going through a very difficult matzav, and I said the question is, what can you now do? The matzav is the matzav. She is not in control of the matzav. And it's difficult, and it's painful, and they're suffering. But that is what it is. The question is now, what can I do to help myself? We need to be strong. Furthermore, you must make sure your moral energies, are there extras? Yeah, right in front of your chair. No, you must also be sure that your moral energies have not completely dissipated by excess. You are not so focused on the gashmis that you have no moral energy. Yes. What does debauchery mean? Debauchery. What does it mean? It's like an old-fashioned word that they used to talk about, like in the palaces and the women dressed in their fine gowns.
Right.
It reminds me of
Indulgence.
Okay, I was going to say it reminds me of the mansions that we went to last year in, where was it, Providence?
Newport.
Now that's what comes to mind when I read that word, so it's correct. Okay, that is what it is. And the walls are lined with platinum and the foyer is lined with marble. So you require two things. Number one, you are strong, but not physical strength, a moral strength. And number two, morally, you are not overcome by the gashmius of this world. He must, middle of second paragraph, he must still bear within himself a reserve of moral energy and fortitude, which is to be activated by the suffering which he must undergo. It means that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows I have some moral energy left. Sometimes you feel like you have no moral energy left, but God knows you do. And fortitude, which is to be activated by the suffering which he must undergo, it will enable him to handle the reins of self-control, so he may guide himself along the path of what is good and what is right. Next. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Does this mean that only people who are worthy get suffering? Nobody else is getting suffering?
It's hard to
or they're getting suffering, but it's for nothing.
Who suffers? Say it again, please.
It means you have to be in a certain way, be together, you have to have good moral before Hashem's going to put you into this club.
Of course.
Right? But does that mean that people who are suffering
So it goes back to the question of Tzadik V'Ralo and Rasha V'Tovlo, and we cannot understand the Cheshbonos. We cannot attempt to understand the Cheshbonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Rav Shmuel Hirsch, I think, here, in explaining and expounding upon this pasuk, is really trying to be mechazek. What does it mean when Tiyasrenu Ka? What does it mean, Ashrei HaGever? What does David HaMelech mean by that? Perhaps he's trying to be mechazek us who witness and who remember and who experience and must live through the suffering. The cheshbonos of God vis-a-vis every single person who suffers, can I exactly understand? Do I exactly have an answer to that? Can I calculate everything that God plans? What's the answer to that question? Absolutely not. But I have to, that's what I always say in learning. I say this many a time. What does this mean for me? I say this often. Very often. Not what does it mean for somebody else, but what does it mean for me? In fact, I think I quoted it in this year a few weeks ago. My daughter told me she learned that in Pirkei Avos and TMM last year in 10th grade. Asei lecha rav means asei lecha rav. When you learn a teaching, when you read a Musar book, when you're inspired, when you hear a new halacha, don't think, what does it mean for someone else? Asei lecha rav. What does this mean for me? So how does it apply to the cheshbonos of God vis-a-vis other people who don't seem to be in this elite club yet they suffer? I have no idea. What does it mean for me? I have to apply to my own life. Yes.
I interpreted this a little differently.
Okay.
More along the lines of that if a person is going to be suffering, it means that they are on the level or have the schus that they can handle it, that they have that they're together and that.
Right.
Meaning, isn't that what I was explaining? Not that we are looking to be in that club, but if someone is in that club, then wow, you must be on a madriga that you can handle it and that Hashem wants you to be closer.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
Isn't that what I said? Aren't we saying the same thing? I think we're saying the same. Am I saying?
Yeah,
yeah. Are you understanding something different?
It's the same thing, but I just, when I think of, let's say, an elite club, it's usually something that everyone wants to be a part of, and I guess like a fine line here because normally we don't choose to be.
Okay, so let me tell you something. Let me tell you something very personal. I don't think If you would have come to me 15 or 20 years ago and asked me if I want to have the nisyonos that I have in my life, no, not I don't think. I could tell you that I would say, please find somebody else. Mm. Thank you very much. I'm not interested. Not I don't think. Absolutely, I would not have said I want this. Now, not only do I accept and still know that I have difficulties, I can really say Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Amchaslo, because there is no way, no way, no way I would be the person I am today. And I'm not just talking about silly things. Please, I'm not. I would not be, and I shudder to think what I would be if everything would have continued in a very smooth path. So, does a person want to be in that club? I can't say so, but Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch is saying that we must find within ourselves, even though sometimes you feel like a weakling, we must find the ability not to be utterly crushed, to find some moral energy to enable me to handle the reins of... Michal, get a hold of yourself. What does God want from you? Okay? What can you do to better yourself so that I may guide myself along the path of what is good or right? So is it a club anybody wants to be part of? No. Is it a club that everybody in life probably will be a part of in different ways? Yes. Now the question is, now that the Ribbono Shel Olam put me here, what does it mean, Ashrei HaGever Asher Tiyasrenuka? Would my life have been easier? Yes. Would I have chosen Nisyonos? No. Does it mean they are for naught? That's a question that every person has to ask who? Themselves. Yeah.
This is very interesting. I remember hearing a non-Jewish person, a very successful female, giving a speech at a women's conference for women executives or leadership. And she was saying how all her life challenges are what catapulted her to her successes. And she said that God doesn't give small battles to big soldiers. And it was just a very fascinating take on a very...
And this wasn't a Jewish person.
Not a Jewish person.
Having said that, sometimes a person goes through suffering and does not find themselves changed or different and is not able to look back and say, this has helped me. And that's not any judgment on any person who finds great difficulty and has not been changed. Because nobody can say about someone who goes through prolonged or short tragedy, why haven't you changed yourself? Which is why I said it's very important. What does it mean to me? It doesn't matter how anybody else reacts. It doesn't matter how anybody else changes or does not change. It doesn't matter if someone else says, God, I want this or I don't want this. Thank you or take it back. What were you thinking? I'm not talking about us. Every single person listening to this shira at the table all night is thinking, what does it mean for me? Where am I? And if I'm still at a place where I do not say, Hashem, thank you for allowing me to change, then maybe that's something I need to work on. That's what Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch is saying. But it's not a judgment call of anybody else. So if a person is not at the place where they say, in some way this has ennobled me, then that's fair and just also. Every human being has a different reaction and acceptance level of suffering. However, Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch says, suffering has the ability to refine us through a discipline. And we are capable. We are capable. Doesn't mean I brought it to fruition. It might be a lifetime of avodah. But I am capable of improvement and ennobling. And this from someone, what you just quoted, is someone who's not Jewish, who finds this reality and truism in her own life as well.
Amen.
You know, so I emailed Chazan Kaplan. Is that what you call him?
Yeah.
Yes? Because it said to email if you want to see the schedule or the sign-up sheet, etc. So I was NCC this evening on tomorrow's proceedings and all the instructions on the sign-up schedule. And in the email, he wrote, how much support they've received from people that they never knew, and the showing in court today was very strong. And he wrote, Mikam Chai Yisrael, 4! It means that here's a person who's going through a Gehenim, and yet able to focus on a positivity in the matzav, to be able to say with such Hodat Hashem, Mikam Chai Yisrael, that is one teeny, putting that in quotes, because it's huge, example. That one line is an example of somebody who sees a good from a hellish situation, from a Gehenim. Next.
She was even talking like that during the Shiva.
Yeah.
At the Shiva itself, she had that same mindset. It was unbelievable.
They were unbelievable.
So it's a huge example of one small act that shows that one has the ability to become ennobled. And again, if a person's not there, everyone's on a journey. Ki kara kan sipor lefanecha baderach. Asher karcha baderach. We're all on the darach of life. Next. So we have just expounded upon, according to Rosh Hashanah Val Hirsch, with added comments, the first part of the pasuk. The second half of the pasuk. We learn from Torah. And that is why the Mechaber quotes this pasuk here. Because what he has said, don't forget, our segue, did I say the word right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our segue into this pasuk was, fortunate is he, said the author, whose suffering comes from Torah. Umi Torah scha, and from your Torah, Hashem, tilam denu. You teach him. What does Hashem teach us? Next, third paragraph. Umi Torah scha tilam denu. His attitude to the teaching of God must still be such. In other words, what does still mean? Even when he is gam ki elich begeitz al maves, even when he walks in the valley of the shadow of death, says Miriam Paretz, kapitel chav gimel. She says, I say this pasuk, but she says she recites that kapitel when she goes to Har Herzl. When I was at Har Herzl with the children, that's the kapitel of Tehillim. I said at the grave of her sons, the same one she says, Gam keilach begeitzam. She says, what does it mean? Even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I am walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Yet lo irara, I shall not fear, God is with me. So next, from the beginning of the line, Umi Torah chasil amdenu, his attitude to the teaching of God must still be, in other words, even when you face suffering, you must maintain the attitude that he will view any suffering that will come his way simply as an admonition to delve more deeply into that law. You know, you could talk about the smallest suffering and then the greatest suffering. This is, in the pale of our comparison to our discussion, nothing. But sometimes something that someone says causes you some degree. So just tonight, I was somewhere before I came here, and I sat down. You were supposed to sit down, and somebody made a comment to me that I'm not going to repeat it. So I was a little taken aback, and I felt a little bit of like, I don't know what the right word is, when someone says a comment to you that. So then I thought, Shivisi Hashem Lenagli Samir, Hashem is right here, right in front of me. That person's an agent of what Hashem wanted me to hear. So I have to realize that it is, I'm not comparing that to suffering like the previous category of things we just spoke about. But sometimes it could be something small that somebody says that's difficult for me, and it does cause pain. It should cause you pain. You're a human being. You have emotions. I'm not impervious to feeling. Impervious, did I use the right word? Sham. What kind of sheer lady is this? Okay. Yeah. I'm impervious to suffering. It hurts. It's painful. Hashem, that hurts me. But it's an admonition to delve more deeply into the law. When Rosh Hashanah Val Hirsch speaks of the law giving, it's capitalized deeply into that law. He's talking about Torah. In order to derive from it the standard of what a life filled with duty and loyalty to God should be. Hashem is reminding me through this pain what a life filled with duty and loyalty to God should be. Sometimes I don't understand the king's law. I'm the simple peasant living in province 26, and he's the king living in Shushan Abira 127. I don't understand the king's laws. I cannot pretend to understand the king's laws. But I have to live a life of duty and loyalty. And then to measure, oh, how relevant to Elul. I have to measure my past existence, against the standard of now. My past, how I was before the suffering, did I like the person I was? Was I doing everything the right way? Was I on the correct path? Was I a thoughtful person? Was I a thinking person? Was I a Torah-filled person? Was God before me always? What was my past? Like said Rabbi Malitsky. Sometimes he comes to Ellen, he's so frustrated. He looks at the papers from last year, the papers from the year before, and the paper from the year before in his notebook. And every year he says, I have the same tekanos. I have to look at my past existence against the standard of Torah. How does that measure up to this? Am I growing? While I'm suffering, am I growing? When suffering strikes us, and again, Mamish, I prepared this last week in the aftermath of the Patira and Levaya, the death and funeral of Mordechai Yavetz, alav hashalom, and then I re-prepared it again in light of 9/11. When suffering strikes us, we are not to grope for superficial remedies which have no relationship to our moral involvement. You know, it's very interesting. Somebody who, oh gosh, if I go out of recording, are we going to be okay? Hashem will help us. No, I need to read a text that someone sent me today. This is someone who herself went through the loss of a child, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, and who's learning with me for many years. It was about her class this week, personally spoke to her, etc. One second. Whenever people suggest, this is from someone who herself went through the very sudden patira of a young child. All of Hashem's neshama should have aliyah. I scratch that. His neshama does not need an aliyah. Tehi zichro baruch. So I'm only telling you how she has approached her suffering. Whenever people suggest therapy for people who suffer, that's a direct quote, I'm not making it up. Okay? She sent this to me today at 9:36 a.m. Whenever people suggest therapy for people who suffer, I offer up instead learning and shiurim. That's exactly what Rav Shem Shem is saying here. Ashriya gevasher tiyasvenuka. What should the response be to the yisurim that we face? Umito rascha selam denu. This is what she, a regular person in our community. Whenever people, now it doesn't mean if a person benefits from therapy, please go get it. Find a positive therapist who understands you, you can work with, you can trust, seek it. But understand that the key lies in the Ribono Shel Olam. Whenever people suggest therapy for people who suffer, I offer up learning and shiurim. I'm not saying this. This is what Rav Shem Shem Fodesh says. This is a person who, in our community, who has gone through this experience, Oleinu. All the answers that are available can be found in the Torah, and they are the truths. This is a simple, I'm putting that in quotes, person. Mother, wife, member of our community. I'm going to repeat those two sentences. It was a long text. Whenever people suggest therapy for people who suffer, I offer up learning and shiurim. All the answers that are available can be found in the Torah, and they are the truths. That's what David HaMelech is saying exactly right here. Ashrei HaGeber, Ashrei Tesvenuka. And that's what Shem Shem Vohish is saying. The Ribono Shel Olam wants to admonish us to come back to Him. And that's what Ella was. And that's why we should feel some suffering. That's what the Mechaber, the author, says. We should feel some suffering, pain, that we have not come all the way up to Ribono Shel Olam or where we want to be. So we have to measure my past existence against that standard. Last paragraph on page one. When suffering strikes us. Oh, I said the sentence already. Thank you for the water. We are not to grope for superficial remedies which have no relationship to our moral improvement. Instead, our sages teach us, if a man sees that Yisurim come upon him, that troubles and suffering come upon him, he should examine his deeds. If he examined and did not find, he should ascribe it to his bittul Torah. Now, it doesn't only necessarily mean we are women, the times that we're mevatel Torah, but are we living a life of Torah? As it says, Ashrei HaGever, our pasuk, fortunate is the man who God chastises, umito rascha selam denu. So if the Yisurim come upon us, we have to examine our relationship to Torah. This woman is a gibor, how would you say, a gibor chayel, in a female. I don't know how you would say in the female. Okay?
Gibora,
right? But it sounds funny. That's what she really has done with her life.
Gibora.
It's really, I can't see your mouth, so I can't hear you. What?
Gvura.
Gvura. Yes.
The female version of Gever is
Giveret. Oh, that's the answer. Okay. Okay? And she really is a woman and a person of tremendous fortitude and courage who has been able to follow this prescription. If I'm not on that madriga, yeah, it's not a judgment call. It means I'm trying to get to where I need to be. Trying. And that too is godless before the Ribbono Shel Olam, by the way. Just trying is godless before God. Should we see that troubles overcome us? Fourth line from the bottom. This should be an admonition to us to examine the life we have led heretofore, to see whether we have done, we have not done wrong, or neglected to do our duty, or whether we would not have been able to be better than we have actually been. Can this somehow improve me? Can it make me more kind towards others? Can it make me more compassionate to others? That too is tikkun midos. Can it help me understand somebody else? If we have subjected ourselves to this test, the test of how's my past, where am I going, and can find no specific wrong that we might have done, and that might be the cause of our sorrows, then we must ascribe our present trouble to the fact that we have neglected to occupy ourselves sufficiently with the study of God's law. So now you might ask me, what about people who sufficiently occupy themselves with the study of God's law, and they too are afflicted with suffering? There's no answer. I'm not trying to brush it off. There's partial no answer. Though you're any Adam Chai, there's no answer. There's no answer. For it is through such a serious omission that the awareness of what... I have to go back. Third line on page two. Middle of the line. Page two, third line, middle of the line. For it is through such a serious omission, if we do not have Torah in our lives, that the awareness of what God requires of us regarding a Jewish life led in accordance with our duty may have faded from our minds. Sometimes we become too caught up in the debauchery, that we forget, it slowly fades from our minds, the duty of what Hashem wants from us. I remember when my eldest would bring home his Parsha questions, and we would just read them at the table from the sheet. You would just read the Parsha question, and on the back it had the answers. I had no idea what the Parsha was. I had no idea what the question was. I had no idea what the answers was. We just follow up. So sometimes, suffering rechannels us on a different course. After certain experiences, I said, okay, I was very good at audiology. I was. I did very well in my externships. I graduated with a very high GPA. But maybe for me, and by the way, we need audiologists. Okay? Exhibit A. We need that. Tiskul mitzvah so mighty. Tell me Hashem should help them. But for me, I said, is there something else? Is there something missing in my life? How could I not know what the parasha is? How could I know what the question is? How could I not know the answer? So I have to examine myself. Has Avodas Hashem in some way faded from my mind? And can I use this as a vehicle or a vessel to come back to him, even if it's very difficult? Therefore, let our suffering serve. This is the third time he said as an admonition to us, to return to Torah, to the wellspring from which we can derive the recognition of where our duty lies in conformance with the will of God. Torah is a wellspring. It is water. It is mayim chayim. It is only from that water that we can recognize what is my duty with the will of God. We have to finish this. We must finish this. Trouble should remind us. I'm just saying this, anyone have questions or comments, but I hope you don't. Because we have to finish this. Okay. Trouble should remind us. When we feel the pain of others in our community, we feel the pain. We feel the pain of 9/11. I looked up online, 2,996 innocent men and women, I don't know if there were children, but they were certainly, children, but also the children who were impacted by the loss of parents and grandparents. So when they say 2,996 were killed, multiply each person by the minimum of 10 people they impacted. We're talking about tens of thousands. We don't feel such suffering. Trouble should remind us that Torah alone should serve as our standard. What is the standard by which to revise our own, notions? I can't look at someone else and say, you're suffering, why are you still stuck there? That's not my business. Ain't dying ella dying emes. It has nothing to do with me. On Rosh Hashanah, I'm not accountable for that person. I should not be accountable for that person. Like Rav Shlomo Schechter says, Eidan is called the Mekav Zchus, is B'diyeved. To judge others is the, how do you translate B'diyeved? Not the best case scenario. L'chatchila, what?
Secondary.
L'chatchila, best case scenario, don't judge anyone ever. Revise our own notions concerning right and wrong, duty and sin. What's my duty? Concerning the life mission, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matil Aleinu Tafkidim, said Rabbi Nid Henkin. Va'ani mishtadalet k'mei tavichod. Yesterday, Risa told me they went to an amusement park. She sent me a link to a Hebrew language article from, I forgot which paper, I didn't read the whole thing. A certain organization organized a day in an amusement park for a couple of 100,000 children who are Yesomim, who are about to be bar bas mitzvah. And so she went with three of her children. She has a girl who's coming up to her bas mitzvah now. She took the bas mitzvah girl, a 20-year-old, and an 8-year-old. They spent the day in the amusement park. And I have to ask myself, what's my life mission? And when is a consequence? We muster, look, all the moral energy within us as a gever. Gever, that should, it's Hebrew, which really I should have italicized it for you. So you must muster, look, it's hard. You need every fiber of your moral being. You need all of your moral energy. Tell God this is hard for me. Ani misaperet lo midayim sh'ani lo smecha. I tell him every day, said Rabbi Nid Henkin, God, I'm not happy with what you did. However, she also says, ani yodat shu sham l'shmoa. The same one who I tell God I'm not happy is the one I know, capital O, who is there to hear me. And it takes every fiber of your moral being to persevere. You have to muster all the moral energy within you because you are a gever or a giveret. You are a man. It doesn't mean a male. It means a human being. Expunge the blots upon the pages of our past life. Is that not teshuvah? Is that not repentance? Expunge the blots upon the pages of your past. Remake yourself. And then you will become a true human being. The Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah that a repentant gets a new name. You're a true human being now, in keeping with the standards set by Torah. In accordance, fourth to last line from the bottom, in accordance with the will of God as revealed to us. Then, only then, we shall truly come to understand the truth of this pasuk. Ashrei ha-gever. And that's how David HaMelech begins to heal him, by the way. Ashrei ha-ish. Fortunate is the man, and here we move to a new level. Ashrei ha-gibor, gever and gibor are obviously the same word. Fortunate is, what does it mean? If you're challenged by suffering, make yourself into a gibor. Take yourself from status of gever, plain man, to the status of gibor, courageous person. And when we come to Torah from suffering, and you can say, like my friend said, whenever people suggest therapy for people who suffer, I offer up. This is, again, her approach, learning and shiurim, because all the answers, this is undeniably true, that are available can be found in the Torah, and they are the truths. He whom God trains and disciplines through suffering, you see it as training. Hamalami Torah l'Ama Yisrael, the teacher is training me in Torah. And I am disciplined through suffering, leads to seek instruction from his Torah. Mi Torah Scha, it's God's Torah, it's not my Torah. It's your Torah, Hashem. He is the very one who will steadily strive forward to salvation. Yes?
I think it's, you know, coming from David HaMelech, who embodied Ashrei HaGever,
yeah, go ahead.
He, you know, he suffered so much, and he always was able to thank Hashem for it, and he still, you know, took every opportunity that he had to learn Torah, even though he, you know, was in the throes of suffering.
That's right. Very. Anything else? Everyone could have them. My computer printed up so many. Does anyone have any questions or other comments? Okay, we should have a week, ladies, of Besuros Tovos for Yeshuos.